Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, the fastest marathon ever by a Canadian woman.
Basically, once I got to the point that I would have had to start running 4-minute Ks and still get the record, that's when I kind of told myself, like, you can start celebrating, because I knew I wasn't going to start running 4-minute Ks at that point. And so for me, it was kind of coming down the final bend. We ran around a stadium, and there was no fans, and it was really quiet, and that was when I kind of let it hit me that I was going to run the record. And it was really motivational, because at that point I was super tired, having run for that long, and it was just kind of a little positive thing to kind of get me to the finish line. And also for me, like, after missing out in the Olympics in 2016, I knew that there was a good chance it would be an Olympic qualifying time. I still don't know if it will be, but I knew there was a chance, and it was in the window, so I was kind of able to celebrate that as well, which was really nice.
Celebrating a first marathon in Boston.
I pushed hard for the last couple of kilometers, as hard as I possibly could. That left turn onto Boylston Street and those last 600 meters, as you could see the finish line, and you just keep pushing. Certainly, I'll never forget. But the entire experience from Hopkinton into Boston is really just an amazing experience, and certainly anyone who's done it will know what I'm talking about. And I think anyone who's thinking about it, it's got to be the biggest motivator, is just to see it and experience it for yourself, because it's truly remarkable.
And a Canadian runner gets the elite experience.
I was smiling, I think, for the last 10 miles. Like, I just couldn't stop. Like, it felt like, you feel like a superstar. You know, you get your own bottles, you get this police escort out to the race, you're in this gym with the best runners on the planet.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to a couple of runners who participated in the Boston Marathon on Monday, including one who was there for the first time and one who was running as an elite athlete for the first time. And Rachel Cliff, the new Canadian record holder in the marathon, will join us. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
The weather is getting a lot nicer. It finally feels like spring. I've been running outside in a t-shirt and shorts, so, you know, all is good in the world, right?
That's absolutely right. Though I will say, you're further than I am. I'm still clinging. I tend to dress, the more fit I feel, the less clothes I wear, and I'm still sort of like over-bundling up, you know? I still haven't tore the Band-Aid off, but we're getting there, and I'm good to hear that you've already made the leap.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't get too fit. I hope you're not out there, because, now that I think of it, I remember running with you one time in Toronto, and you were shedding clothes through the whole run until you were, I think you just had a pair of shorts on.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the mental game is such a huge part of my approach to the sport, and it is funny, and sometimes, you know, when I feel like, oh, I'm ready to take on the, actually, and I'll go all the way down, I'm not afraid to go out just in my shorts. You know, when I'm really feeling like nobody can stop me, I'll do that. And, you know, onlookers be damned. I'll just go like that. But these days, you know, you see me, I've got a jacket, I still have tights, and yeah, but we're getting there, and it's exciting.
Yeah. And did you watch the Boston Marathon on Monday? I was thinking of you,
wow.
Because last year we were there, and it was a great experience. It was a crazy experience. It was apocalyptic. But it was still a wonderful day, and this time around they had some weather challenges of a different kind. It was a little more humid and warmer, there were a couple of really interesting storylines, including the finish of the men's marathon, where it came right down to the final couple of strides.
Yeah, and it's just great doing what we do, seeing our sport, you know, be the story of the day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just great to be involved, and it's great when we can sort of generate some of that mainstream attention, and and it's always so, the story is for people, and it's so exciting, and everybody's still talking about it, and people in my run club and our readers and everybody, you know, it has a profound effect on people, and it's really just, you know, it's just wonderful, and it just galvanizes all the attention and all of the participants and everybody else. You know, it casts a wide net and a wide ripple effect, and I think we're still feeling it now.
Yeah, and although, did you get this? I had this phenomenon in my life leading up to last weekend and then on Monday of everybody saying something like, oh, so you're going to Boston, right? Or, hey, how come you're not in Boston? Oh, I just assumed you'd be in Boston. Did you have a little bit of that?
Yeah. Well, I really couldn't believe that how quickly the year has passed. I mean, it seems like just yesterday we were doing that. And what really struck me is that, wow, that was a whole year ago. That year went fast. You know, I sort of mark my time through through Boston Marathon.
Yeah. Well, get used to it. They go by faster and faster every year, I think. So we have a couple of stories to tell on a couple of Boston stories to tell on the show today, including a friend of yours. Charles is going to join us to talk about his Boston story, his very first Boston Marathon, right?
Yeah, and he's a great guy. We do our long runs together, and we're always endeavoring to get in with the philosophical bent on life. So I'll be excited to hear that interview. He's a smart, compassionate man.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, we're going to finally check in with Rachel Cliff, Canadian record holder now in the marathon. And she has such a great story to tell. And look, here we are at a time when, you know, we went, what was it, 30 years without the marathon records being broken. And now they've been broken twice in the space of a few years. And so this really is a good time for women's running in Canada, for running in general in Canada. So looking forward to chatting with Rachel Cliff.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, and on the men's side, too, you know, we're putting together our new issue now that's going to be out at the very beginning of May, and it'll be in the race kits of the Ottawa Marathon. But we have Reed Coolset writing about Cam Levins, and that, too, is like, you know, the men's record didn't break for forever, and then Cam just broke it last year. Now it looks like, you know, Reed thinks Cam can go much faster. And Reed Coolset, he was the one that many people pegged for the longest time to be the one to break the record, and now Cam Levins has broken it. And it looks like, you know, that maybe a sea change has happened and that these records are starting to fall. So Rachel's a great example of that, and I think we're going to see more as time progresses. Yeah.
So what have you got coming up, Ben? What are you planning to run in the future since you and I didn't do Boston this year and since you're excited about the warmer weather and gradually shedding your clothes?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting time for me. I mean, the Ottawa Marathon is coming up, and that will be my next race. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, last year by this time, I had already done something like 5 races, and this year I haven't gone yet. So my season is very different this year from last, and I'm looking forward to getting cracking. But, you know, maybe it'll be good because last year I almost raced too much. I did 4 marathons and just about as many half marathons, and I did a 30K, and I did, you know, I was running a lot. And I guess this is what happens. And the pendulum sort of swings in the other direction, and now I'm not rarely racing at all, but I will be back out there shirtless at the Ottawa Marathon.
Right on. We can always count on that. Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the fastest female marathoner in Canadian history. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Rachel Cliff set a new Canadian record in the marathon last month at a race in Nagoya, Japan, finishing in 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 56 seconds. That's more than a minute better than the previous record of 2 hours, 28 minutes set by Lanny Marchant in 2013. Rachel Cliff, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So describe the marathon to us when you set the Canadian record. Just walk us through what happened.
On the day? It was just one of those days where things really came together. Like in the marathon, you have to be so thankful when things beyond your control and within it come together. And I've done 2 marathons now, and both of them have just been really positive experiences, so I'm really fortunate. And, this one was no exception. Like, the weather was ideal. I mean, but driving to the race and thinking that that wasn't going to cause problems. And the pace setters went out right on pace. And just running in Japan in general is a really cool experience. So it was really a motivational running kind of through the streets, and there was so much fan support and so many people out there. So it kind of kept me distracted in a positive way through till about 15K. And then I was still feeling really good and on pace. And, you know, your mindset's rushing to the finish line, but I was able to keep that in check as well. And, yeah, it just all kind of came together quite well. It definitely got tough towards the end, but by the time it started to get tough, I knew I was in a really good spot for the record.
And you mentioned the fact that there are events that are beyond your control. I think that's an important thing to remember for marathon runners is I always think there are 40 or 50 different factors that go into your finishing time, and probably a bunch of them, maybe half you can control and half you can't, and they're just what you get when you show up that day, including the weather, right?
Totally, and how you handle it. Like, I always tell myself in those long races that something is going to go wrong, and there's just no way around it when you're out there for 2.5 hours. Some things are more obvious than others. In the case of my marathon, there was actually a really big fall that happened at the 15K water station. It was right in front of me. And I remember when people went down, it was loud, and it was like literally I had to jump over someone to avoid it. I haven't been able to find a video yet, but it's one of those things, like that's inevitable in a marathon. And if you let it get you, it can cause issues. But I was fortunate that I didn't fall down on things. I mean, it definitely could have been a lot worse as well.
When you got to the point that you thought the record is within reach, I might actually be able to break the record, set a new record for Canadian women. How did it feel at that point as you were running the final few hundred meters of the marathon?
It was great. I know with the marathon, if you with any sporting event, you really don't want to think about the outcome until it's very obvious that that's the case. So I was on pace for quite a while, and I knew the further I went and the longer I felt good, the more I knew it was likely to happen. But basically once I got to the point that I would have had to start running 4-minute Ks and still get the record, that's when I kind of told myself, like, you can start celebrating, because I knew I wasn't going to start running 4-minute Ks at that point. And so for me, it was kind of coming around the final bend. We ran around a stadium and there was no fans, so it was really quiet. And that was when I kind of let it hit me that I was going to run the record. And it was really motivational, because at that point I was super tired, having run for that long. And it was just kind of a little positive thing to kind of get me through the finish line. And also for me, like, after missing out in the Olympics in 2016, I knew that there was a good chance it would be an Olympic qualifying time. I still don't know if it will be, but I knew there was a chance and it was in the window. So I was kind of able to celebrate that as well, which was really nice.
So what does this record mean to you?
I guess the result, I try to focus more on like myself. And so for me, being a 226 something girl is really exciting, and then it kind of puts me higher up on the world stage. And it's a really elite time, and I'm really happy and proud to have that as my PB.
And can you tell us a little bit about the journey of how you got to here as a runner? Because as you mentioned, this is only your second marathon, so this is all relatively new. But of course, you've run lots of other races at other distances and broken records, including at the half marathon. So just describe your journey to becoming a Canadian record holder in the marathon.
Most runners, as they get older, tend to move up in distance. And with me, it seemed like every time we moved up, it came even more naturally. And so I think I ran a bunch of half marathons last year, partially as a child, because, you know, it's kind of obvious when someone is. It's pretty obvious to, like, a trained eye, I think, and, you know, my coach especially, that I was good at long work and good at tempos and stuff. So we had lots of reasons to suspect I would be a good marathoner. And, I was nervous to do it. Like, it's a risky event, and it still scares me a lot from an injury standpoint. And, you know, you can give everything to a marathon and then lose it on the day. Like, it's a scary event that way. But I loved the half marathon so much, and I loved the training so much for it that I was just kind of excited to train for a marathon, because I figured it would feel a lot like the half marathon, and it has.
And the fact that it's only your second marathon suggests you might be able to improve upon it. What have you learned from running marathon distance, and do you still hope that you can get faster?
Yeah, you always hope to get faster. Like, I think it's, again, like, my first two marathon experiences have been so positive. I know after Berlin, I didn't leave Berlin feeling like I'd done anything that wasn't sustainable, but I couldn't do again. But I knew it went well, and you do see people, you know, run their best ever marathon on their first marathon, and I was, you know, somewhat concerned that that would happen, and then I was obviously able to go faster, but I don't want to take for granted, again, like, how just perfect Nagoya was, and there's no guarantees I'll be able to run faster, but obviously if you stay in the sport, you always want to get quicker, so hopefully I can find more. I think coming in, though, as a veteran athlete has been really helpful. Like, I have a lot of experience in running in general, and that's translated to marathon running as well.
You mentioned earlier that the experience of running in Japan was interesting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Japanese love road running. So we just have this, like, it's like, I don't know if it's actually one of the national sports, but it's definitely just one of their favorite sports to watch. And so as an invited athlete, you're treated really well. And most meets treat their invited athletes really well. So that's not unusual, but you felt like you were there for something really special. And especially on the race day, like, just the number of people who were out there, and just, it was televised, and I remember there was, like, a massive media talk that followed us, and you got all that in North American meets, too, but it was just at a totally different scale in Japan.
And, of course, the next Olympics are in Japan, so does that make you feel comfortable about the prospect of potentially running for Canada in the Olympics in, yeah, I know it's not in Nagoya, it's in Tokyo, but in some familiar territory where you've had success before?
Yeah, doing the marathon at the Olympics in Japan would be really, aside from the heat, it would be a really cool experience, knowing just how much they love the marathon. So there's that, but I think that, like, when you travel internationally for events like the Olympics, they always try really hard to make the athletes feel like they haven't really changed this, their living conditions. So the villages are always set up to be pretty international feeling. But I think that having gone to Japan a little bit will be helpful, and that there will be less of, like, I won't be as excited about traveling to Japan because I've gone a little bit. I'll just be excited for the Olympics. So I don't think there'll be that kind of, it'd be nice to run the Olympics in a place you've been before, because I'll be familiar with it and it won't be like a novel feeling. And I think, you know, if I were to make it, that would be really beneficial.
So what's next for you? What are your plans for the rest of the year?
I hope to kind of get back to the track this summer. Like, training's gone pretty well so far since the marathon, but I'm being really cautious just take care of injuries and stuff. Like, the marathon definitely beats up your body pretty good, and I want to come back for a track season. So it's been a bit of navigating how hard to push and when to push, and hoping that things come around. But I'm hoping to do the Peyton Gordon 10K in about a month in Palo Alto. And then we'll kind of take the track season from there.
Okay. And are there more marathons in the future? Are you hoping to improve on this time in the near future as a way of getting into the Olympics? Or do you think that time will stand as your Olympic qualifying time?
I have to wait and see the qualifying criteria. Like, it hasn't, the IAAF just released theirs. So the Athletics Canada hasn't had a chance to release theirs
right.
yet either. So we'll see. Like, I'm not, I'd say it's, you know, 50-50, depending on what's required and what I want to do in the next little bit. So in the moment, I'm just focusing on kind of recover from this past one and hopefully come back for some fast track racing.
Well, Rachel, congratulations again. It's a historic performance, and I think the best is still yet to come for you. So good luck with your races and with all of your training. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Perfect. Thank you again for having me.
That's Rachel Cliff, the new record holder for Canadian women in the marathon. Coming up next, a first trip to the Boston Marathon. High Run Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. There were hundreds and hundreds of Canadians among the finishers in last week's Boston Marathon, and one of them was Charles Lessault of Toronto, who was doing Boston for the first time. Charles, thanks for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you, Mark. It's nice to
speak with you today, and it's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how long you've been working towards running the Boston Marathon. When did you first take an interest in the idea of qualifying for Boston and running the race?
So my desire or interest to run Boston came out of the time that I started training for marathon running more formally through the Black Toe running store in Toronto. And so that introduced me to the sport of marathon running, as well as the community of runners here in Toronto. And so it was through that I started training for a marathon in early 2017. And that really got me interested in long distance running and what I could accomplish as a runner. And from 2017 began training for or trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And so it started almost just over 2 years ago.
Okay. So the quest began as soon as you started doing marathons. Boston was on your mind, basically.
I think so. I think there's something about running, and as I'm sure you and all the runners who are listening know, there's, to me at least, there's two parts to my running journey. One is the goal, so to finish a marathon and actually complete a marathon in a certain time. And then the other element to me, which is even more today, more meaningful than personal best or even in fact qualifying for Boston, I would argue, is just the people you meet when you run, that community, as I said at the outset, of runners that you meet, because ultimately you start to appreciate and understand that the biggest part of running the marathon is actually the process of training for it. And training for it in a group like we do means that you develop fantastic friendships, meaningful relationships, and a lot of great memories through that training process. And so you're right. It started 2 years ago. I began to focus on qualifying for Boston through the summer of 2017, heading into the fall.
You describe those relationships so well. Of course, running is an individual sport. It's you and the course. Only your legs can power you to the finish line. And yet, it is a bit of a team kind of atmosphere, because you are, if you go about it this way, you are training with a group of other runners and you support each other.
Totally. And to me, that's the one part of long distance running or running in general that's lost on a lot of people. And it's not because they choose not to have that experience. It's because typically running, as you say, is viewed as an individual experience. You run a race on your own, you go out for a run, you can do it anytime you want. There's no schedule. There's no team practice, if you will, like organized sports. But the minute you immerse yourself in a community of runners like we, say, have here in Toronto, or yourselves in Ottawa or any other city that you live in, and you meet those people, it just opens up a whole new world and a whole new perspective, really, on long-distance running, which is the amazing experiences that you can have together, training together, running races together, participating in team events, and the friendships and then I think as well, you benefit from other people's experiences. You tell somebody you're training for Boston, they tell you they've run Boston before, and they share those experiences with you. So there's benefits, so many benefits, and really I think I'm just scratching the surface when we talk about the benefits of running, both to the individual, but then to the experience of running and being a runner.
So when did you qualify for Boston?
I qualified for Boston in September of 2018 at the Erie Marathon.
Okay, and what was that experience like?
Erie's a fantastic race. It's a really fun marathon to run, and it's a great qualifier for Boston. It's really flat. It's two loops of 21K out on Presque Isle State Park on the shores of Lake Erie. It's really popular. I believe last year it was sold out. It's a popular marathon. It's popular for people who are looking to qualify for Boston. You know, typically the weather in September tends to be reasonably favorable, not too hot, not too cold. And as I said, the course is very flat. The locals in Erie certainly welcome you with open arms. We met many people from the local community through the weekend that couldn't have been more friendly and helpful. We had dinner at a fantastic Italian restaurant in a little neighborhood and full of runners and locals as well. And it was a very memorable experience and obviously capped off with a Boston qualifier.
So let's turn to Boston itself. What was the experience like for you running your first Boston Marathon?
As I said, it was a bit of a roller coaster. It's really, you know, when I first landed in Logan Airport, I stood in line at the customs counter and the security guard or the customs agent asked me, what brings me to Boston today? And I looked him straight in the eye and my answer was short and sweet. I said, I'm here to run the marathon. And he smiled and stamped my customs card and sent me through without any other questions. And so for me, that was the moment when it really first started to sink in that I was actually going to be running the Boston Marathon in a few days. It's somewhat surreal. I mean, the town is full buzzing. It was full of runners. I went to the expo early on Friday. It was a great experience. You know, certainly world-class, you know, without comparison, just in terms of the size and the scale of it. Just the, you know, it's you're there to run the Boston Marathon, and it's pretty amazing. And to see the city come alive and just how much support and attention the event gets in Boston is just phenomenal. Certainly nothing really I can compare it to. I mean, I've run New York City a couple of times, and while the expo maybe compares on some level, the attention and the excitement around the marathon in Boston really is truly unique. You know, this year's marathon for me, when we headed out to the Athletes Village in the bus, it was pouring rain. So obviously you're thinking of last year's conditions and the rain and the cold weather. This year we were fortunate that it was not going to be as cold as last year. However, it turned out to be quite a bit warmer than I was ready for. We trained through a pretty cold Canadian winter this year, and the heat and the humidity in the last 10K were certainly presented some significant challenges for both myself and I understand a lot of other runners this year. I would say the one thing about Boston that I didn't maybe appreciate to the degree that I needed to was just the difficulty of the course itself. You know, people talk about Boston and what an amazing marathon it is, and it is truly amazing, very difficult to get into, as we all know. But I think the one thing that's maybe underestimated or not focused on enough is just how difficult that course is. It's truly hilly with very few flat stretches, and I think that's one aspect of the course maybe that gets lost on people who are running it for their first time, such as myself this year. You know, if I had have done anything differently in my training plan, and I certainly did try and train on as many hills as possible, but I would definitely do a lot more hill work, both uphill and downhill. I think the downhill aspect of that course really takes its toll unless you're 100% ready for it, or can take its toll unless you're 100% ready for it. So that's sort of, you know, that's obviously overshadowed my experience in terms of just the performance on the day. But I mean, the crowds, the people, when we ran through Natick, I think we, you know, people were singing karaoke to Sweet Caroline. I mean, these are things that you just don't experience in any other events that you participate in as an amateur athlete.
And is there any one memory that stands out for you of the whole experience?
You know, I think the one particular memory that stands out, I think the finish, you know, for me personally, I pushed hard for the last couple of kilometers as hard as I possibly could. That left turn onto Boylston Street and those last 600 meters, as you could see the finish line, and you just keep pushing, certainly I'll never forget, you know, but the entire experience from Hopkinton into Boston, is really just an amazing experience, and certainly anyone who's done it will know what I'm talking about. And I think anyone who's thinking about it, it's a really, you know, it's got to be the biggest motivator, is just to see it and experience it for yourself, because it's truly remarkable.
Well, Charles, congratulations. You've done the Boston Marathon. It's a huge milestone in any runner's career. I'm glad you had a great experience. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you inviting me on the show to talk about Boston, and I look forward to going back again soon.
That's Charles Lasseau of Toronto. Coming up next, a Canadian woman gets the elite experience in Boston. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Kate Gustafson is a Canadian runner and coach who now lives in Brooklyn, New York. In the 2016 Boston Marathon, she was the fastest woman outside the elite field. And this year in Boston, she actually got to run as an elite athlete. Kate, welcome to iRun Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And so let's tell the story of how you ended up starting with the elite runners at the Boston Marathon. You and I have known each other a while, and I always knew you were a very fast runner. But to get to start with the elites at a major marathon is a pretty big deal. So how did you get to this point?
So I have been running marathons for the last 10 years, and you know, it's interesting because I think I've been sort of following this trajectory where, you know, run a marathon every year and trying to get faster and running with different groups and having different coaches. And then when I was out in Vancouver, I started working with Dylan Wykes with Mile to Marathon. And my goal then was to break 2:45 in Berlin. I ran a 2:47. A year later, I went to Chicago, and we had set this goal, a bigger goal, a more lofty goal, to run a 2:42 so that I could earn a spot on the Boston Marathon start line with the elite women's field. And I went to Chicago, and the whole time I was under my target. And I was motivated not by the time, but by the experience of getting to Boston to run with those women. And I did it. And so it was about a year in the making, and we reached out to the Boston Athletic Association, and they sent me an invitation that I got to enter. And actually, it ended up this year they extended the women's field. So it used to be only 40 runners, 40 women. And then this year they made it so that everyone who wanted to run it with an Olympic qualifying standard under 2:45 was granted access to that elite women's start.
And
I got there.
And you had run Boston before and had some success there before. In fact, among the people who didn't get the elite invitations, you were the top woman one year, right?
Yeah. So 3 years ago, 2016, I ran it with my younger brother, Ben. And I didn't know that during the race. I just, you know, I could tell everyone was excited to see a woman, but I ended up, being the top female in the open category, and I finished 25th that year. I've had a lot of fun and success in Boston, but this one felt like probably as close as I'll ever get to the Olympics. And it was interesting because a lot of the experience, you know, really admired Krista Duchenne for a long time, and she was in part of the John Hancock elite team this year after finishing third in Boston last year. She was so supportive, and I even spent maybe an hour with her before the race on Monday in the gymnasium in Hockington, where they have you sort of corralled off. And yeah, she just gave me a lot of good advice and made me feel really calm and like I belonged. And I've looked up to her for so long. So it was really special wow. to share that experience as well.
Yeah. And going back to when you were the top woman outside of the elite field, I guess they call that in the open category. Did you know that was happening, or did you just find out after the race?
No, I didn't know that was happening. I remember, and sometimes at races this happens, if you're at the front and someone will say, like, look, a woman. And I could tell that especially younger girls were really excited. The fans were really excited, but I didn't know. And then I realized, like, after the hills, I think I didn't see another female for the rest of the race.
Right, yeah.
But no, I didn't know that until... Till I finished and I saw the result.
And it would have been noticeable for the spectators because the elite women start earlier, right? So they go off on their own,
exactly.
And then you would have been, there'd be a gap, and then you would have been the first woman they would see after that.
Totally. And I think that's actually another piece of what's so appealing about this is that the elite women begin 28 minutes ahead of the pro men and wave one, wave two, et cetera, and the rest of the field. And that's done really to give women the platform, you know, for television exposure and photos and for the fans. So it's really like an incredible opportunity and platform for female athletes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of that. I've watched it from afar for a long time, and it felt like in running, you create these goals and, you know, it's nice to have a goal that wasn't so tied to a time. It was, you know, like, if I do this, then I'll get to have this type of experience. So it felt different, you know, than maybe other things that I've chased in the past.
And so what was the experience of running the Boston Marathon, the most coveted marathon in the world, one of the six world marathon majors, as an elite athlete? What was that experience like?
Incredible. I actually, I've seen a few photos from the race itself, or Alan Brooks tweeted a photo after the race, and I was smiling, I think for the last 10 miles, like I just couldn't stop. Like it felt like, you feel like a superstar, you know, you get your own bottles, you get this police escort out to the race, you're in this gym with the best runners on the planet, you know, and it just feels like you're part of something that maybe you've dreamt about or you've worked towards. And I've always been an athlete, and I played Division I NCAA hockey, and, you know, I've been around a lot of high-performing athletes, but it felt like, you know, I'd arrived somewhere that I've been like training, working towards for a long time, and you know, just supported by my family and friends in a way that it just like felt like, regardless of whatever happened on race day, it was something that, you know, I could really enjoy, and I truly did. I was smiling on TV before waiting to go, and yeah, it was incredible.
And how did the race go?
The race itself was, so the weather was a bit humid, but yeah, I mean, obviously I wanted to stick to my own race plan, and Dylan, you know, just said, like, let other people make mistakes, and it really doesn't start, like, the racing doesn't start until you get to the hills, so I just tried to keep a pace that I felt was manageable, that I, you know, marathon effort, I would call that, and then once I got to the Newton Hills, I started to saw my old coach, Nicole Stevenson. I saw some friends, old teammates, and I just kept passing women and feeling strong. And I think I had, like, you know, some of my fastest miles after that point. And like at no point in the race did I like hit any dark spots or feel like, you know, question why I was there. I just really was running out of total bliss, and around, I think, 16 miles, I passed Krista, and she was having a tough day, and, you know, she's just someone who I admire so much, and I don't know, like, I just, like, got another wind, and, like, I felt, you know, I was trying to pull her along with me, and I felt her support as well, so that was a pretty special moment.
So did you actually speak to her as you passed each other?
Yeah, I just said, come on, Krista, like, let's do this. And I think we just turned, we had just made the right turn at the fire hall. So we ran together for, you know, like a minute or so. And yeah, it was just, I didn't really know what to say exactly,
yeah.
But just, you know, I was trying to pull her along with me because, you know, it was nice to run with another Canadian, past some girls.
Yeah. So where does this leave you, Kate? Does it satisfy that kind of curiosity that you'd had about this experience, or does it leave you wanting to do it again and to do this more often?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think that actually, like I've said to a few people, you know, I feel like almost like if I have a baton right now, like I'm like passing it to, you know, like some of my other peers and other Canadian female runners who have the times or like aspire to have the time to do that. And I think in a way, like by, even by sharing my story with my friends and, you know, lots of the women that I've trained with, that they can now believe that they can do it. And so I think that, like for me, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. And like hopefully next year, someone I know is doing the same thing.
Wow.
And then I think, you know, in terms of like a Chicago, I ran a 2:40, I don't know, like in a few seconds. So it'd be nice to go under 2:40.
Sure, yeah.
But again, I think it's fun to have goals that are not so heavily weighted in just a time, you know. I think there's something interesting when you like take that ceiling off.
Yeah, but this is obviously yet. You coach other runners, and so this is an experience you can share now, right? And it sounds like that you're as much excited about doing that as you are about doing it again yourself.
Yeah, I think you know, Dylan came to the technical meeting with me, and he didn't really say much, but it's just the fact that, like, knowing what he has accomplished and what he's experienced as a runner, and you know, like after going to the Olympics, and his note really before the race was about his Olympic experience and, you know, passing people as he went through the race. And there is something about like knowing, I think I made this comment that it's knowing what it takes, you know, to do something like that. And Dylan certainly has passed that along to me. And now I can share that with others.
Well, Kate, congratulations. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of accomplishment, which is not to say it couldn't happen again for you, but but it's a milestone event to be running in a race as an elite athlete, and you've worked hard to achieve that goal. So congratulations on not only getting to Boston, but running a great race when you were there. Thanks very much for being with us on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark.
That's Kate Gustafson, a Canadian runner and coach who now lives in New York. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, Ray Zahab's going to be with us, the incredible adventure runner. He'll talk about his latest expedition, plus the author of a new book that explores why people run ultra marathons. I hope you can join us on the next edition of iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.